Hello and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your speaker, Chris McCann. If you'd like more information or to hear more studies, visit our website at www.ebiblefellowship.com. And now with your evening Bible study, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the Book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 3 of Revelation chapter 9. And we're continuing to look at the first two verses. And I'll begin reading. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit. And there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And we spent some time looking at the Greek word abysso, which is translated as bottomless here in Revelation 9:1, and also it's translated as bottomless pit a few times and a couple of times in Revelation 20 verses 1 and 3. And we'd also looked at Revelation 11 verse 7 when the beast ascended out of the bottomless pit. And We saw that that word was also translated twice as deep. On one occasion, the demons sought the Lord that he not cast them out into the deep. And in Romans 10 verse 7, God spoke of who shall descend into the deep. And I want to look at that verse again and read that again in Romans chapter 10, back up to verse 6, beginning there. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep. And that's the word, the Greek word translated as bottomless, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. And here God is linking together the deep with death. And we also saw in the book of Jonah, when Jonah was in the whale's belly, and it was stated, out of the belly of hell cried I. And then God referenced the deep. And that's undoubtedly a tie-in with this word bottomless. The bottomless pit identifies with death and hell, as Jonah joins those ideas together. And remember, Jesus said concerning Jonah, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And that means Christ's experience in demonstrating what he had done from the foundation of the world, beginning Thursday night in the Garden of Gethsemane, was a demonstration of going through hell, as hell identifies with the grave and grave with death. And this is why the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, allow me to read in verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Because Christ was dead. And that means he was in the grave. He was in hell. And so he identifies with hell and death. And God resurrected him from the dead, bringing him out of hell and bringing him to life from the dead. This is what's in view when we read verses such as those recorded, as in Psalm 16, verse 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Christ was not left in hell, in the grave. He did not remain dead, but he rose from the dead. And since he rose from the dead, it is as though the keys of hell and death were given to him. Now he has the keys. Now he can open the gates of hell. He can come out of hell himself, and he can cast others into hell. And that's what happened with Satan as the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, and at that time, Satan was bound. We know that Satan was bound at the cross, and that's when the 1,000-year, the figurative period of time that Revelation 20 mentions begins, as we read of, again, I'll just quickly go there, even though we read this in our last study, but in Revelation 20, in verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit, that is the key of hell and death, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him. That is, Christ bound Satan. And yes, that meant that he was limited. He could not freely do the things that he had done before. God put restrictions on him at the cross. But it also meant that Christ placed Satan in hell at the cross. Well, no, not a literal place. We know that because he continued to roam the earth, going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He was very active in placing tares amongst the wheat while men slept at all throughout the church age. So obviously he was not placed in any location like a prison, a place called hell. It was a condition of being in hell. And we see this with the language that the Bible gives us in 2 Peter Chapter 2, where God makes the statement in verse 3, we'll start there, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So we know that this word, this Greek word that is translated as spared, and here in the negative, spared not, God spared not the angels that sin, that this word it indicates the wrath of God, just as it's the same word spoken of the old world. And spared not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person. So the people of the old world that were destroyed by the flood were spared not. And that is an example of judgment, of the wrath of God. The angels that sin were spared not. They also are an example of the wrath of God being poured out, of the judgment of God that comes upon the wicked doers, in this case, angelic beings, the angels that fell from heaven, Satan and all the angels that became demons. They were spared not. Now, we know this is language referring to God's wrath without any question. It's confirmed when we look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, where it says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" He, that means God, spared not his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Father delivered up the son to experience the wrath of God. It was the Father who slew the Son for the sake of his elect. And Christ died for their sins from the foundation of the world and entered into the world to reveal, to make manifest what he had done. And so he that spared not his own Son is again language indicating the wrath of God. Therefore, in 2 Peter 2:4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell," is describing God's judgment on the fallen angels that took place at the cross. Now, why at the cross? Why not from the foundation of the world? Why did God wait to bind Satan until the cross? Why did he wait to cast the angels, including Satan, down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness at the cross? Why not from the very beginning? Well, the answer is because of what we read in Hebrews chapter 2. Let's turn over to Hebrews. In Hebrews 2, it says in verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." You see, it wasn't until the Lord Jesus entered into the world, born of the Virgin Mary, born of the Holy Spirit and delivered by the Virgin Mary, and he became a man, that it was finally confirmed. It was always known, but it was confirmed that Christ came and took the seed of Abraham. He would die for men. He would die for elect men and women, and he would pay for their sins only. He did not take on him the nature of angels, and therefore he could not make payment for any angels if he were pleased to do so. God was not pleased to do so. It's of God's good pleasure that he saved a people for himself. He did not save any angels, and this was finally guaranteed and confirmed when Christ entered into the world and made this manifest, that no angels, there is no provision made for any of the fallen angels concerning their salvation. They had sin, they would bear their sins, there was no deliverer, no savior, none who would rescue them. And as a result, they were bound at the cross when this was finally demonstrated by the Lord Jesus, that there was no salvation for any angel. And they were cast down to hell. And as it says in 2 Peter 2, "But cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment." Now, hell, again, was not a place. God did not cast Satan and the fallen angels into a place called hell. There is no place called hell. The Bible uses the same word that's translated as hell for the grave in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that's because hell and the grave are one and the same. They identify with death. And when Jesus went to the cross and confirmation was made that he did not take on him the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham, therefore it guaranteed the death of all the fallen angels, and it guaranteed there would be no gospel light available to any of them. Therefore, they were delivered into chains of darkness. In the Bible, darkness and death and hell go hand in hand, and they're often synonymous. And when God brings someone into darkness, it is as though he has brought them to death. Remember what God says about his wrath and how he speaks of hell, which is synonymous with darkness in many places. For instance, in Matthew chapter 8, it says, and there are several verses like this, in Matthew 8, verse 11, I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Their darkness and the weeping and gnashing of teeth go together, and this all fits the language that the Bible uses to describe hell. It is a place of darkness. We read in Jude, which is an epistle that's very similar to 2 Peter chapter 2, that God says in verse 6 of the epistle of Jude, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So what God did was he guaranteed that salvation would only be for the elect portion of mankind. There was no salvation, no provision made for any angelic being. And this guarantee was confirmed at the cross at the time of Satan's binding and at the time of his casting down to hell, where he was reserved in darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And so the bottomless pit is identified with casting down to hell and with being reserved in darkness. The bottomless pit has the characteristics of hell and death and darkness. And so as we're reading here, this most terrible of information, this is awful news for the world when we read that the Lord Jesus, who's being typified by this star falling from heaven to the earth, to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. That reference to a furnace is, of course, not an accident. God is making a tie-in with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we read in Genesis chapter 19, in verse 27 and 28, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before Jehovah. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And the smoke of a furnace indicates the wrath of God being poured out and destroying the objects of God's wrath. And so here in Revelation 9, when the Lord Jesus Christ, possessing the keys of hell and death, opens the bottomless pit, and there arises a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. This is language indicating that the wrath of God is now upon the world, that the inhabitants of the earth are under the wrath of God. They are experiencing God's anger for their sins. And this language is also revealing something else very important, and that is that hell and death were spoken of as being in the bottomless pit. And the word pit here, as I've pointed out in Revelation 9 verse 1, the word bottomless is one word and the word pit is another. In this verse, the word pit is translated as well in the Gospel of John, in a reference to Jacob's well. And so it's a deep pit, as a well is a deep pit. And so hell was beneath. Hell was below. And that's often how the Bible speaks of hell. Hell is down there. But what has happened is that the Lord Jesus, who possesses the keys of hell and death, has opened up the pit, and notice that the smoke arises out of the pit. In other words, God is not using language of placing Satan, for instance, into a bottomless pit, or as 2 Peter 2 says, casting down into hell, but rather God is here describing language of hell rising up and coming to the earth. In other words, God is turning the earth into hell. The condition that was prevalent in the deep, in the bottomless pit, is now arising and coming upon the earth. And as we see, the smoke out of the pit arose as the smoke of a great furnace. And notice what happens. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So what have we learned from the Bible is identified with hell? Well, smoke, yes. Darkness, death, these all identify with hell. And now as Christ has opened up the bottomless pit, the smoke has risen and it's come to the earth and even into the sky where air is and above that into the deep space where the sun is. And so the sun is darkened and the light of the world is put out. And therefore, the earth becomes a smoke-filled place as the smoke of a furnace. It becomes a dark place as the angels were cast down to hell and reserved in chains of darkness and kept unto the judgment of that day. In other words, to use that phrase again, what God has done is he has placed the world and all the unsaved inhabitants of the world into the condition of hell and death. And this is why the rider on the pale horse, whose name was Death and hell followed with him, is characteristic of these days of judgment. God has turned the world into hell. And remember, didn't God say he would do that? In Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And this is now accomplished. The wicked are turned into hell. Once God darkened the sun immediately after the tribulation of those days, and put out the light of the moon, and the stars fell from heaven, he cast the world into spiritual darkness and into the condition of hell. And just as the angels previously at the cross were bound and cast down into the condition of hell and reserved in chains of darkness, well, now the whole world is in that condition. And this is, of course, a very grievous time to live, a grievous time for the people of the world, although for the most part they're ignorant of it, and certainly a grievous time for true believers. Because let's think of this. If God has brought up hell from below and brought it to the earth, which he has done, if he has turned all the nations, as it says here, into hell, and all the nations that forget God, if they have taken upon themselves the characteristic of death and hell, well, what does that say about the true believers? Where are we right now? Well, we're living in the world in the day of judgment. Yes, but what does that mean concerning the fact that God has turned the nations, turned the wicked of the world into hell. And yet the true believers are not wicked because our sins are paid for. Well, that it really presents some very interesting situations for the children of God. And also an interesting situation develops at the end of this period of time when God takes his people out of this world that has been turned into hell. And Lord willing, we'll think about this and talk about this some more in our next Bible study.
Thanks for joining us for eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies. You can hear these studies Monday through Friday over Paltalk, Skype, eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over your phone. For more information or to hear other studies, visit www.ebiblefellowship.com. Until our next study, may the Lord's perfect will be done.